This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
He's being tipped by Tiësto as the hottest producer around and by DJ Magazine as the next big thing to hit trance. One of Armin van Buuren's favourite producers of 2008 and, according to Ferry Corsten, one of the new trance guys. Joining me on the line right now is Seed Van Riel. Seed, thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Now, how does it feel to have individuals like Tiësto and Armin van Buuren speaking so highly of you?
Well, you know, it's I have to be honest, it's really cool when you hear people like that, you know, saying stuff like that. But yeah, you know, I'm just taking it as it comes to me. You know, it's really great to get recognized like a hot producer or the next big thing. Or, you know, it's not that I think like that about myself, but it's really cool when people say it about you, especially them.
Does it put the pressure on you at all? Do you feel that pressure to reach their expectations?
No, not at all. I've never had that, actually. I just do my thing. And, you know, hopefully, well, if I'm, you know, not being arrogant, so far I'm doing well, I think. So, but I don't feel any pressure at all. I enjoy everything I do, so not at all.
And I believe your interest in dance music actually started when you were back, when you were 10 years old.
Yeah, definitely. There was my next door neighbors, there were two guys from Indonesia. You know, they were banging on all cylinders with acid house music, and you know, back then it was more like what was it? House music. I was cleaning the stairway of our apartment building to make some money. Heard the music coming through the doors, and you know, from that moment on, I don't know what happened, but I, you know, became a fan of electronic dance music, and it just grew from there.
And how was the rest of your family handling this loud music pumping through the units, I guess?
Sorry?
How was the rest of your family feeling with all this loud music playing in the from your neighbours? Were they enjoying it as much as you were?
Well, you know, I was raised by my grandmother, and back then she was around 60, I think. You know, when I started playing music myself, she actually bought me my first turntables. So I was playing hardcore music back then, like the Gabba House, the hardcore house. And she, you know, I was playing in my bedroom all day long, and she just came in my bedroom dancing, enjoying it, because she saw me enjoying, you know. So, and still, I mean, even my grandmother now, when I go to her, she has pictures on the wall of me and Tiësto listening to his music, to Armin's music, you know. She's still into it, and she's 83.
Wow, that's a very cool grandma, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Now, although you're interested since you're 10, you've only just released your first track, Fearless, in 2006.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I became sick and tired of hardcore. You know, I understand why I digged it back then, but at one point I just, you know, I don't know, I just grew out of it, and I was like, I want something else. I started looking for something else, listening to all sorts of music, and eventually came up with progressive and trance, you know, Ferry Corsten, Sasha back then, Tiësto, all the big guys you have now. You know, but it took a while for me to actually start off DJing with trance music and producing it, and it happened like mid-2006 was my first release, I think. 6 months before that, I started producing. And my first gig in trance music was a tour with Tiësto, actually. That was after my first release, Fearless. I got asked to tour with him, and I did 3 gigs with him. That was my first ever gig in trance music. It was kind of sick, though.
So it sounds that the first gig went really well, did it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm never nervous. I just have adrenaline to play. And back then, I didn't know what to expect. Obviously, I knew Tiësto, but, you know, we traveled to Istanbul first, and there was a crowd of 11,000 people waiting for me there, waiting for Tiësto. I was just a warm-up guy, but I enjoyed every single minute of it. And, you know, from that moment on, I just thought, man, you know, where can it go from here? I mean, if you have one DJ pulling a crowd off like that, I was like, what the hell's going on in this land, you know? And yeah, I enjoyed it all, and that was my first gig. Never nervous, just and still not nervous at all. I always have adrenaline before I start playing, you know. And who knows, maybe, you know, the next big thing from Ireland, UK, or Australia, can pull off a crowd like 11,000 or 20,000 by himself once.
That'd be very nice. It sounds as though Tiesto's played a big role in your development in the last couple of years.
Yes. I know the bigger guys, and, he gave me a shot at opening up for him. And when you're new in the scene and you get the chance to open up for Tiesto, that's a big thing. And, he asked me again for last year. I toured with him twice, did a Dance for Life fundraiser with him, He supports my tracks almost blind. Every track I give to him, he starts playing it. He says things on the radio. The same goes for Armin, by the way. So I'm really lucky with that, because you need support from the big guys. And I'm lucky enough to get it.
And that's what I notice from a lot of the DJs that I speak to, is they're really supportive of new acts coming up. It's not... I guess they understand how hard it is when they were starting, and they seem to support as well. Would you agree that that tends to be the thing in the DJ community?
To get support from the big guys, you mean?
People that have made it, I guess you could say, like to support up-and-coming DJs all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is? I think they just... when you give them a few tracks and they enjoy the tracks, they kind of expect, the same thing with your next release as well. And a lot of guys out there do have, like, this really distinctive style to them, they always have, like, a similar style of track. So when they play one, you kind of know they'll play the next one as well, and they pick up certain guys that they will support for a long time. That's what I noticed. When they always have some sort of favorite producers or a group of producers which they will support for a long time. And if you do your job right as a producer, you can, get that support for a really long time, which we all need, of course.
So with music being such a large part of your life, are you always listening to music, or do you sometimes just need a rest?
I'm always listening to some sort of music, but at home, I only listen to trance and progressive when I'm listening promos. I take one day a week for to sort out promos, and other than that, when I listen to music, it's more 80s music, it's more rock music, pop music. In between producing, when I take a break, I'll just listen to, Nirvana, Pet Shop Boys. What else do we have? U2, I like U2, Lenny Kravitz, that sort of stuff, but trance and progressive, it's mainly on my promo day. And nowadays I get quite some promos, so you have to take your time, because there could be a hidden gem in some promo list somewhere. So
gotcha. What would you say would be the best thing as your role as a DJ
so far in my career, or do you mean when I'm playing?
When you're playing, what is good about being a DJ?
It's the kick I get out of seeing the crowd going nuts on your music, or putting people, giving them smiles on their faces, or seeing people experiencing the same emotions you get from actually listening to the music or playing the music. That's something that's a big rush for me. I mean, and even when it's a small crowd or when it's a big crowd, if you do your job right as a DJ, you can take the crowd with you on a certain trip, and, you can actually see the emotion coming out, or the climaxing when you're peaking in your set. And when you're on the same level with your audience, which I think you should be as a DJ, you can both enjoy it. And that's what I like a lot about playing out, the connection with the crowd, basically, it is.
Okay, so that's the best thing. What would you say is the worst thing about being a DJ?
Do we have some? That's a good question. the worst thing about DJ, short sets. I hate short sets. Just doing a set for 1 hour, or that's something I don't like.
Yep.
And other than that, a bad thing while you're playing. Well, what I noticed when it's actually really funny when you're opening up for big guys like Tiesto or Armin, you always have their fans in the front row waiting for them. So when you're doing a 2 hour or 3 hour warm up, they want to see their idols. They want to see Armin. They want to see Ferry or Tiesto or whoever. And they would just stand there staring at you with this look in these eyes, like, dude,
hurry up,
get out of the DJ booth. You know, that's now I'm getting used to it. You know, when you're warming up, you know it's there, and yep. you accept it. But the first time I was opening up for Tiesto, I was like, what the hell?
Oh, no. So you've had a big couple of years. What have you got planned for 2009?
Well, 2009, what I want to do is, you know, what's going to happen, I think, is doing shitloads of gigs, like really, really ridiculous amounts of gigs. Pushing out my artist album later this year, at the end of the year. I'm going to do a mix compilation for a big brand as well. I just got asked, and I actually got confirmation about 2 hours ago, I think, so that's really, I can't reveal the name yet, but that's also in the planning, and, you know, keep on producing, do different stuff. I want to take my productions to a next level in 2009, better quality, different sorts of productions as I've done now. Some more melodics, you know, some vocals, but all with a better quality to it, and different sound, you know, new things. But the main thing will be gigs. I mean, my agenda is stuffed now till July, and I expect the summer to be a complete madhouse. So that's basically my plan.
And you'll also be heading down to Australia to play at Trance Energy. And have you started planning your set for that yet?
No, not at all. I always have tracks that I definitely want to play out, even now already. Like, you know, I have some favorites from the past months that I will be definitely playing out there. But I'm a type of DJ that, you know, goes to the venue about 1 hour, 1.5 hours prior to my set time. You know, check out the crowds, check out the vibe, listen to what the DJs before me are playing, you know, get the vibe, and then I'll just take it from there. There's enough in my record back, you know, to make a good choice or a combination of styles. But I always check out the crowds and take it from there. I never plan a set prior to my time.
And I've always wondered, has it ever happened, or does it ever happen with DJs, that a DJ before you plays a song you were hoping to play?
Well, I've never had it happening, but I've saw it happening, you know, when, for instance, I don't know, Ferry Corson will play, and there's a warm-up DJ or another DJ before him and starts playing his tracks, you know, that's what I'm thinking, like,
yep.
Maybe it's a better plan that you don't do that, you know, because you know he's on, but I think depending on the track, I wouldn't mind, you know, and some ask me, like some warm-up DJs ask me before I go somewhere, like, can I play that track, you know, and if it's an older track or something I wasn't planning on playing anyways, you know, I'm okay with it.
Now, have you been to Australia before?
No, this will be my first time ever.
What do you know about Australia? What are you expecting down here?
Well, you know, I saw a lot of stuff on YouTube. I'm hearing a lot of stories from other DJs that party there, that done gigs there. I know a lot of people from Australia personally, you know, which I got to know through the internet. And what I'm expecting is Trance Energy to be a complete madhouse, you know, with the stories I've heard from the crowds, with the lineup they have planned and the venues and the capacities. I think it will be a complete madhouse and a 4-day tour that, you know, it's not going to damage my life, but I think it will leave us... It's marks on my life for quite a while.
Well, you'll be able to sleep on the big plane trip home.
Yeah, and I have to go right away. That's actually a shame because I was planning to stay longer, but I have gigs lined up for 16, 17, and 18 April as well for the Estate of Trance 400 events with Armin. So, you know, I have to leave right away. I think I get one day rest. I'll probably fly back to Melbourne from Perth when I'm done there for a day rest, and then fly back.
Well, Sid Van Vril, we're looking forward to seeing you playing at Trance Energy here in Melbourne. Thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you very much for doing this with me, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, bang on all cylinders over there. I'm ready.
And we're ready for you as well.
Cheers.
Okay, thanks, Sid.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.